My name's Asidi Sanya. I work with Africa Rice as the Rice Sector Program Leader and also the TAT Coordinator, Technologies for Agriculture Transformation in Africa. TAT is a CGIAR contribution to the African Development Bank's Feed Africa agenda, one of the high fives. They have about five key items of intervention to transform life and livelihoods in Africa. One of them is Feed Africa. So the CGIAR, through the leadership of IITA, came together and proposed technologies that we call technologies for agricultural transformation in Africa. That's what it is basically. So what are those high-impact technologies that we will be able to work with the African Development Bank support to work in its member countries to be able to transform agriculture from primarily household food security to national and continental food security. The whole issue of better and good seeds, including hybrids, good agricultural practices and accompanying ICT tools that help decision making, the processing, mechanization processing, so that we are able to put good quality import comparable rice in national markets so that our farmers can begin to cash in into the lucrative market for rice in our region. So this is why IITA, under its leadership, has brought about 15 institutions. Some as most are CG centers, one, two, or three are non-CG centers, but international, so that we work together through using a value chain approach, using multi-stakeholder processes, one of which we all agree to use is the innovation platform, because they bring all the players, critical players, together to address the opportunities and the challenges of each of our value chains. Here we are talking specifically of the rice value chain, and specifically in our rice hubs in the countries, which these rice hubs have been selected by the countries, but in participation or technical support from Africa Rice. So we are using the rice hubs in the countries. We are using the Africa Rice Task Forces, which are the technical arm of technology generation and deployment, not only generation, between Africa Rice and its national systems. We are using the multi-stakeholder platforms that bring all these critical actors together to address a particular constraint or take advantage of an opportunity in the rice value chain. So this, we together, is what we, the rice value chain, call our rice technology delivery infrastructure, which is framed around the regional TAT, regional technology delivery infrastructure. So we have put that in place in countries. And then we have what is called focus countries and spillover countries, because we cannot work in all African Development Bank member countries at the same intensity for all the technologies. That is not possible. So we had to look at focus countries, and then we look at the pathway to other countries, which we call spillover countries. So what technologies are most likely urgently needed in a country that is not focused but spillover, and how do we quickly get it to that?
So now you can talk about the hybrid rice.
So today, in particular, we went through a number of interventions or processes in this TAT. We had a launching, we had country meetings, sensitization of the stakeholders, getting them involved, getting them engaged, and getting their buy-in. One of the key technology that we observe is quality seed, access to by producers of quality seed. So that has been a challenge, because in rice in general, the seed system is weak when you compare it to maize, for example, because the private sector has not been fully engaged for a long time, until recently, fairly recently, that we are beginning to work purposefully and targeting private sector, whether they are big or small or medium, to be able to come into the rice seed system in a more active, proactive manner. That is what we are trying to, that's what we are doing now, not only trying to do, that's what we are doing. So this particular engagement is, how do we bring hybrid, and why hybrid? Because African rice has developed very good hybrids lines under the years. Some of these things have now passed to varietal stability, and one of those is, I'll use the common name, is Ranov, that has been tested with African rice in Saint-Louis with our hybrid breeder who come from Egypt but hired by African rice over the years. And with through that process, they have been able to release one of these varieties which Senegal call is Renov. So that is the stepping stone. That is where we are taking off. Now we have a product that has been released in Senegal and consequently in the ECOWAS region. ECOWAS says policy advice and guide that when variety is released in another country, it should pass into or be used in available use in other countries. But we also know, yes, this is the policy, but the countries have to buy into this policy. So it's not automatic. There are pathways, again, you have to navigate to be able to get this variety. So that is the purpose of this field day. We took this variety from Senegal, we brought it to our station here, but we are doing its multiplication, seed multiplication, and the planting of the seed itself, so that the participants, especially private sector, with their national partners, national research institutions, extension, etc. If since we are in Cote d'Ivoire, if you use the example, one example, ADERI, you know, CNRA, etc. So we work with them, but through private sector. I have to emphasize this, through private sector, because that is where the sustainability is going to come from. That is what we have not, we did it, but we've not done it with the strength and the courage and the forcefulness as we are doing today. So we work with these public institutions to through private sector, so that private sector is a driving seat. So for hybrid, that is critical. Inbreds, so can be a different, slightly different story. You can have a number of players, but for hybrid, you need the private sector to be actively engaged. So that's why we are doing this. We brought them here after a consultation we had with them in Senegal. The story is in Senegal, that's where I started. And they recommended some action plans. We have that, one of those. We want you to produce a minimum of 1 ton, and we will like to get involved to test it under similar condition in our countries, but I have to emphasize with the support of our national systems, so that they...
Can you take that again? Minimum of 1 ton extra?
Minimum of 1 ton of this hybrid seed, Isranov.
Ah, okay. Can you just take that?
Okay. So we got to a stage in the action plan. We have a number of action plans that we need to do with our, what we call TAT enabler, AATF, on policy support. They are providing the advice on policy support because it's proprietary technology. The relationship between public institution, Africa Rice, research institutions like CENERA, like ISRA, CENERA, and then private sector. So we need the support of AATF as a TAT policy enabler. So through this workshop consultation we had with them in 2019, January precisely, we came up with a concise action plan, and that's what we are following. One of those is produce at least 1 ton of this breeder seed, of this hybrid seed of Isrinov, so that we can have access to it as private sector. We take the seed, work with our national programs. We are not working in isolation. We work with Africa Rice and our national programs so that we will be able to see its potential in our country, and we will be part of the release process if that is what is required in some countries, if they insist. If in other countries, because it's released in Senegal and they are happy with the ECOWAS law based on the data coming from Senegal, we can go into promotional activities. So that's what we are here today. But I should say that it's not only Isri North. As we went into the field in Bouake here, in Bay Bouake, we saw additional three lines that are comparable. Some are even slightly better than Isri North under our condition here. So we have four varieties, hybrids that are already ready as variety that we can take with the private sector, but through our national systems. I have to emphasize that. It's not for the private sector to go and take the lead, do the testing and facilitate the release. No, they are custodian of the process so that it can become sustainable, so that we will be able to move, get the support of Africa Rice, our national systems, ISRA, SENERA, I give two examples, Senegal and Nigeria, NCRI in Mali, IER, etc. We work with these people hand in glove with private sector leading and catalyzing the process in terms of ownership. That is what we are here for, and that's what this workshop is all about. Well, hopefully within the next growing season, rainy season have already started, by next dry season, in the dry season, we would be seeing some of these half a hectare, quarter hectare, 200 square meter. In some of these key countries, the exercise they are doing right now is to say how much they are able to support, because it's going to be financed by them. Africa Rice's role is to support the national systems to provide the technical support and our own support, but the in-country, the plowing of the field, the site, the fertilizer use, all will be funded by the private sector that want to host these demonstrations or tests we are going to do with our national system. So we're beginning to see their investment. We are also bringing something. So it's a good PPP technology deployment and testing strategy that we are able to pick up, put together around this hybrid. Here we have a private sector, mainly medium-sized private. They have their processing plant. We also have millers, because we don't want to drive this strictly with seed businesses, because it's the millers that are going to take the paddy. So they are engaged in the process from the very beginning. We have farmers who are going to be the eventual producers, whether they are medium-sized farmers or big farmers, but we have farmers. We have the National Research Institute. We have ADERI, also development policy and development. We have ANADE, you know, from Senegal. We have ISRA present. So National Research Institute, the extension development policy, influential policy engagement institute. We have the innovation platform actors as well, you know, because as I said, it's based on a multi-stakeholder process. So we are bringing all this. We are not leaving anything out. We have, as I said, millers and processors already. So key categories that will make sure that when the seed is available, it goes out to farmers. But also when farmers, big or small, are able to successfully produce enough, the millers are already engaged in this process. They know its advantage. It's what are the best market values. They will be able to go. This is what we call a multi-stakeholder process. We are not focusing only on the seed producers or seed businesses. We also bring along those that will make the chain move. So that is what those are the type of category of stakeholders we have, and we will continue to build on that. Maybe in future, we'll even bring the equipment for manufacturers, because there may be a need for some kind of equipment that may come through that need to be the compact. So that is the beauty of this multi-stakeholder process. You don't do a product development or technology development because this is the key person. You focus on only that. You do that at the end, by the time you move one, two step, you are trying to spend a lot of your energy again to entice the other stakeholders that will make it for. So what you do, you start with a minimum of set of stakeholders around a product. They are all engaging, they are co-learning, they are building relationship, they are building trust, governance systems are evolving, you are learning together. So by the time you go to scaling of that product, you have the enabling environment for that product to thrive.